Hello and welcome to Zborovcast, the English language Zborovka but no podcast that nobody asked for. My name's David.
And I'm about to chain myself to the main concourse of the Luzhanky Stadium.
So, watch out for that wrecking ball when it finally comes in, because you're not going to be there for long.
I'm not a Miley Cyrus fan.
Fine. I tell you who's going out like a wrecking ball. It's...
yes.
It's... Ludwik Lusarczyk.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, we're not even...
That was this morning's news, wasn't it?
Yes, so, I mean, I would like to thank the club, capital T, capital C, for basically ruining the preparation for this evening's broadcast with groundbreaking news that we are going through yet another manager.
Indeed, yeah, we're going to have a bit of manager chat later on in the show, but we've also got sections looking back at games against Příbram and Viktoria Žižkov. We've got a potted history of Žižkov. The podcast, hot or not, and two previews, one which you said is longer than the other because we're playing Líšeň and Kroměříž. Two derbies, one a lot more derby-ish than the other.
Starting to feel more like a derby by the week.
Yes, indeed, yeah. Two teams from the same city, both going in very different directions. So we're going to talk about those in a little bit, but first of all, let's have a brief look at what happened 3 weeks ago against... insert sponsor name here, Příbram. I have very little for this.
Yes, I mean, the main thing, and I mean, listener, I don't want to sort of, spoil the surprise for anyone, but the last two matches are probably going to be an indication of why we are now going to be looking for our fourth manager this year. But yes, it's turned out to be Zbrojovka Brno 0, Dukla Marila Vajagen Příbram 1.
Dukla Marila Vajagen Příbram!
If you don't know what's going on there, I would recommend you go back to our football songs episode.
Shall I just put it in here?
That would be a much better idea. I forgot you had the power.
All right, hold on. So, yeah, there we go.
Something like that.
Yeah.
This wasn't a great game.
No, it wasn't.
And that probably... obviously we have the international break, which clouds memories somewhat, as does what usually happens in the stadium. Particular shout out to the beer van outside of the ground.
Oh, beer van eases the pain.
But really, it's as flat a performance as you can really get. Really,
yeah. I mean, Příbram offered very little. They were there for the same thing. The only goal, which was scored by former Zborovák Jakub Nečas, which means that's two Law of the X's in two games after Shimon Falter's cameo to set up Vyškov's goal against us in the previous home game.
Yeah.
Jakub Nečas scores a fucking worldie. It's a lovely volley. It's a 25-yarder out of basically nothing. But he hits it as sweet as you like, and it just rockets into the goal. Like, it's absolutely out of the top drawer. Mm-hmm. It's lovely stuff. Well, he wasn't doing that last year. But, I mean, it was same old, really, wasn't it?
I mean, the only thing that you can really say was an improvement, and just to sort of prove a point, I have brought up the stats for this game on my phone, was that you'll remember against Vyškov, we had the magnanimity of having, I believe, no shots on goal for that game. And we did a little bit better this time with 4.
Wow.
And to be fair, with those actual shots... on goal, Melihar, I believe, pulled out a couple of quite good saves. But again, it's a little bit, it's too little, too late, isn't it? Like, Necha scores, halfway through the first half, and then we don't, pretty much do anything. We have a couple of, we got better as the match moved on. And actually, we got a lot better after we went down to 10 men.
Yeah.
That was really it,
I have quite a lot about this in the manager chat section. What I did was I went through all of Klusarczyk's interviews after losses to see what he said. And, well, let me tell you, it's going to be a lot of that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. I mean, that was... That's all that needs to be said about Fleabag, really. It was just crap, wasn't it?
It was at a pretty bad time, I would say, for us. Because obviously, I still think you have quite a strong mitigating factor, right? In the sense that... We're missing a few players. And we were, at that time, off a three loss streak. So, we'd lost, obviously, to Opava, both in Cup and the League. And then, the performance against Vishkov. But they had won three on the bounce. Like, they were actually looking up a bit. And they have, made an improvement, you have to say, from last season. But really, if you have, and this is going to be a repeating theme, I suppose, in things like the previews that we talk about. If you have any... ambition to get out of this division, you should be taking advantage of games you have at home against teams that, okay, look better this year, but let's not forget skin of their teeth to stay in the league at vast swathes of last season as well. So it's not really good enough. And you can, sense now, week on week, frustration is sort of starting to boil over.
Yeah, absolutely. We will sort of come full circle with this whole thing when we talk about the Žižkov game and a bit of manager chat later on. But I don't want to dwell too long on the Příbram one because it was 3 weeks ago and there was an international break in which to,
In which Scotland could qualify for an international tournament.
Indeed.
Thank you, David.
In which Zbrojovka could maybe make a difference or, try something extra. Spoiler, they didn't. But let's go, before we do that, let's have a bit of hot or not just to, ramp up the, I've no idea where this is going.
To add a little mirth and merriment into what could be an otherwise, sad state of affairs as we talk yet again about, troubles at South Moravia's Premier Soccer Machine.
Yeah, it's that.
Pretty fucking rusty machine right now, but...
Hot or not, and we've got one each, I assume.
Yes, I've gone for two hots this
time.
Ooh,
have you?
Because I think I've been quite a...
Happy days.
A negative Nelly over the last few episodes.
All right, fair enough.
So I thought I'd go for two hots.
Okay, I've got one of each, and they're both about very opposite ends of the fan experience spectrum.
Oh, okay.
The feel-bad rainbow. All right, give us one of yours then.
Okay, well, both of mine, by the way, David, have, I think we've been discussing in group chats and they will be no surprise to you.
Okay.
But my first hot is South Korean girl group stakes trip to Texas.
Right, I do not know anything about
okay,
this.
Okay, I put this in the Gentleman Ultras group chat. There's a South American girl group and they're called Stake or States, STAYC capital letters. They're one of these, five horribly sexually repressed sort of woman not allowed to date sort of thing, teeny bopper South Korean K-pop stuff. And they recently played some sort of show or appearance in Texas in the US.
Right.
And in order to, how sometimes you have, people or acts will play a festival or they'll play at a big show somewhere and they'll do something that they'll have the scarf of the team that plays there,
right,
or something
okay,
like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
So they thought they would do exactly the same thing. So what they were hoping they were going to come out in was Texas Rangers baseball jerseys.
Right.
Right? Not the Glasgow Rangers jerseys, which they actually came out into. I will show you the photos later. They are very
That's
good indeed.
That's amazing.
Because they're the proper old school ones with like McEwen's
Lager. McEwen's Lager, good.
So, yeah. So
cost them a fortune.
Cute,
yeah,
very
lovely.
Confused K-pop fans.
Amazing. That is that is worlds colliding in a way I never thought
so
I would.
So, obviously, this is unbelievable news for horny Rangers dads. So
That's very good. I will give you a knot. It is also a US-based knot. It is Chicago Fire. This was
Drew Connor's Chicago Fire.
Well, this was 3 weeks ago now. Like I wrote this sort of when it happened, mm-hmm. thinking you know what else will happen. And 3 weeks later, it still really pisses me off. So I've kept it in. Mm-hmm. 61,000 fans turned up to Soldier Field a few weeks ago to watch Lionel Messi's Inter Miami rock up. Uh-huh. Right. So it was Chicago versus Inter Miami, but Messi was injured. Right. Mm-hmm. And despite seeing Chicago Fire win 4-1, Chicago Fire are offering fans $250 credit as compensation for not seeing an opposition team's player.
This is endemic in that game. Like, because I've seen this as well, because I follow somebody on Facebook. I say follow somebody on Facebook. I am friends with somebody.
Right.
based in North Carolina. And he goes, he's got a season ticket for Charlotte.
Right.
And I believe they did the same thing. And Charlotte played against Lionel Messi's Inter Miami. And he actually played all 90 minutes. And Charlotte won. But they had bumped up the price 3-4-fold.
Sure.
Just because Lionel Messi is going to be there. And that says something about how weird that league says, and that fan experience is, isn't it?
It says something about rampant capitalism.
This is the thing. I think, especially yourself, David, have been, I think, quite good on American soccer here, you know, emerging market growing league.
Yeah,
there
exactly.
There was some good stuff happening in terms of fan culture and stuff like that. And everything I see from the MLS these days, you know, in the past, let's say, sort of year, has just been rolling back any sympathy for that league or its fans.
It is absolutely on your knees worshipping at the shrine of, you know, Lionel Messi and his monetization of Inter Miami.
They've ended up bumping up their season tickets all for next season.
Something
as well,
ridiculous as well.
Thousands and thousands of
tens
dollars.
Tens of thousands of dollars, yeah. Anyway, let's move on to something more happy. What's your second?
Yeah, well, it's happy. It's happy
your
for
your second hot. Sorry.
It's happy for most people. It's probably not happy for fans of FC Trinity's Zlín. This was going to happen.
My
hot is Zlín 5, Mladá Boleslav 9 from the weekend.
Yeah.
And specifically, Fortuna's highlights package. Of this.
They did one, did they?
They did. There's a highlights package of it. And it is incredible. It's 5 minutes long. It's actually standard for what they do for the league there. And it's fantastic because it does this Czech league thing, which in order to sometimes fill up stuff, they show other chances. And there are some absolutely Haufen chances that they highlight as, you know, sort of and he came close and all this. There's at one point, I think halfway through the first half, where some guy just takes the ball from midfield, just boots it, and it goes about 15 yards wide of the goal.
Right.
And it's like, you're covering a match with 14 goals in it. You don't need to fill it up with this stuff.
Yeah.
It was just fun, but it was also fantastic. And the manner in which Zlín lost, I thought was just fun. Like, outstanding as well.
It also shows the absolute level of insanity that game is, where you've got 14 goals, but you're still having people having a crack from halfway, and, you know, just going, you know what, sod it. Let's just
start of the second half, Zlín 3-1 up as well, and then it's just, it's fantastic, and then you're half listening, you know, to the commentary, you know, especially because it's not in your language, but then you hear very prominently just the word collapse there, where Zlín decided to give away about 4 goals in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of these games that you see, these sort of 9-0s in the Premier League and stuff like that, you always go, you know, all the time, a lot of it is usually defence has let him down there, his team's let him down there, you can't really put it all on the goalkeeper. I actually think you can put quite a lot of it on Matty Rakovan, who was legitimately dreadful in this as well. At one point, he just seems to pass the ball out just to a Boleslav centre forward.
Lovely.
Who just sort of dinks it in. It's just wonderful stuff, really.
Wow. Yeah.
And obviously that has not just cost Zlín, you know, a bit of their pride and they are bottom of the league. It's also cost them their manager.
Yeah, and we all know where he's going to end up.
Absolutely, I'll be welcoming him with open bottles.
Yeah. Right, I've got final hot in the other end of the fan experience. It's Fortuna Düsseldorf.
Aha, this is the free game, isn't it?
It is, but it's more than that. Do you know what this is part of?
I do not.
They're trying to make every single home game free of charge in 5 years' time.
Wow.
Yeah. They are trialling three free games this year. Mm-hmm. The first was against Kaiserslautern over the weekend. Normally they get around 30,000 people in their 52,000-seater stadium, but this was sold out. Obviously they had 120,000 people apply because it was a big, you know, big new thing. The idea is that ticket sales make up only around 20% of the revenue.
Sure.
And the fact that they rent the stadium off the city means that concession money goes to the city, not the club.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea is they don't charge people, but the extra 22,000 people buying food and drink goes a long way to paying the rent for the club. The shortfall is covered by bringing in long-term sponsors who basically are persuaded that it will improve their image, not just being like a traditional sponsor, but being part of a long-term social project, right? And yeah, it will improve the atmosphere by having a full house every game and allow a wider scope of Düsseldorf residents to see the team. Basically, they had a lot of ticket applications from... There's quite a lot of Japanese people living there for reasons I don't know. But Düsseldorf have two Japanese players. So they gave quite a lot of tickets away to all these Japanese locals that wanted to see them. And they're kind of doing a rollout like Tennis Borussia did in that they're going to give free tickets to refugees and people who wouldn't normally be able to afford them. So, yeah, Fortuna Düsseldorf trying to make every game free within 5 years. They don't know whether it'll work, whether it's sustainable or viable, but, you know, chapeau to them for having a go.
Good on them.
Yeah, absolutely.
God. So now we've covered a lot of the happier side, or the funnier side of football.
Yeah.
Are we going to take a terrible trip down memory lane? And by memory lane, I mean a couple of days ago.
I think we are. So you like getting out of bed at 5 o'clock, do you?
Oh, I fucking hated it. I hated the travel. Like, you know, this was, again, I hate to say it, but I think this was my stupid idea because I didn't want to go to Prague the night before and have a night out because I'm trying to save money because I'm going to Aberdeen in Greece in 2 weeks. So I need my gyros money.
Mm.
So that was up at 5:30 to get the 6:38 train to Žižkov, the football special.
And, I mean, overall, I had a lovely day. I had a nice day out.
I had a nice day out, and it was very good to see certain people again as well, because we don't always get to meet up with people from other clubs every so often.
Yeah.
And I am absolutely putting this in now before I forget when I start conjuring up what I'm going to call violent sexual imagery to show my displeasure at what happened on the pitch. But shout out to a number of people, to Dan, of course, Dan Statham, who's a follower of Žižkov, of course, to Colm as well, who is the fantastic moderator of the Bohemians UK Ireland and English language service on Twitter.
Yep.
And also hi to Steph as well, who joined us from a holiday that he's having.
And Andrew was the other one, wasn't it? Yeah.
So yes.
Hello all of you. Yes.
So yes, hello to everybody.
It was very nice to see, meet, you know, have pints with you. And that was, that was a really nice part of the day, wasn't it? Just, you know, having a couple of jars afterwards and, you know.
And then you go in, you know, it's no bother in that stadium, really. You get a nice pint. The nice pints were still there. There was a selection
Kosek of... Kosek Brewery.
Yes.
They're from Liberec, apparently.
Are they actually?
Yeah. They they style themselves, I think this is probably true, as Liberec's only, like, microbrewery. They were founded in 2017.
Uh-huh.
I found them online. And,
Well, it's a class pint. It's a really good pint.
It is, yeah.
So, you know, my favourite probably one, you know, in this league's football, at least. And, you know, there's a fine selection of various breakfast items.
Yeah, your massive foot-long hot dog.
Yes, you
smeared
have that.
In many things.
Yeah, you could also, you could buy individual mini donuts. Did you see that
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, I did, yeah.
So lots of things there, quite nicely priced for, you know, for Prague. And also
there's also no segregation between the away fans and the home fans. Like, you can just walk through, like, home fans queuing at the away fans, like, van just to get pints at half time and that, like, isn't it?
Yeah. Which I was slightly surprised at, because it's Brno. There, but then also I remember that they've sort of fenced off the Žižkov ultras at the far other side of the stadium, so there's no way anyone would ever get to each other as well. 120 crowns to get into this in, you know, this country's capital, and I say that again to put us to shame for how much we charge for our tickets on the door.
So what happened in the game? Well, we were 3-0 down after half an hour,
after 28 minutes.
Yeah, goals from Marek Richter,
8th minute.
An own goal from Lukasz Endel,
18th minute.
And one from Tomasz Wolter,
28th minute.
Tomasz Wolter? Radek Wolter, sorry. The Little Butcher gets one back early second half, and it looks like a comeback might be on. What was Liam calling it? Zhishtambul.
Zhishtambul, he was, yes.
Down with this sort of thing.
this is what pints and like 2 hours sleep does for you.
Looks like a comeback might be on, but Václav Prošek gets Viktorka's 4th. Make it 4-1.
Best goal of the game.
And then the Little Butcher scores again, but it's all in vain.
Yeah.
We did see the comeback of now non 2001 strokes haircut Patlotnik.
Yes.
Which is nice to see. Jiří Hamza, I'm liking him more and more. He is very much Endel from 2 years ago, in that he's come in and looked actually sort of decent, sort of straight off the bat. As a centre half, and maybe the scoreline wasn't completely reflective of the result. We had a couple of great chances in the first half. Endel's own goal was unlucky; it just skimmed off his head, and it diverted it past Berkey. Like, you know, it wasn't a major howler; it was just it just clocked him on the top of his head, and it went in. So it wasn't awful, but it wasn't good.
Yeah,
that's my sort of main thing on that.
There's too many passengers in that team at this point. Once you got to 3-0 down, I didn't see any sort of urgency, any sort of fight at all, really, from various people, and people that I would expect to maybe know better. Let's say the one thing, and I think I shouted to him at one point during the match, was my favorite player, Dreamboat Adam Fosek, who, like, didn't look bothered in the fucking slightest.
He looked like he could be arsed, didn't he?
And that's mad, because, like, Adam Fosek is not a regular starter for Zbrojovka.
Yeah, it's your chance to shine.
Why are you not fighting for a space in the team? This, you know, it's incredible to me. You know, and maybe that's a symbol of a greater problem of the culture of the club. But yeah, too many...
I'm going to go into that in a bit as well.
Oh, sure, yeah. Sure. But really, you know, sort of too many passengers, and just the fact that you have, you know, a couple of weeks off, not for everyone, but most people had a couple of weeks off, not on international duty, chance to try out some new things, get a bit of, you know, sort of freshness and stuff like that. And that's how you finish. That's how you, well, not how you finish. That's how you start coming back.
Yeah.
3-0 down in the first half. What? Yeah. Like, it's just terrible. Maybe I make one more point, which is, and I've said this before, and I think I've said this every other match about this. We have serious problems without Jiří Texel in that squad.
Yeah, we do. Yeah.
The worst thing about that, the performance, was that the midfield was basically, you know, at times non-existent, and they just got ran through by Žižkov. Number 4 for Žižkov there, I think it was the left back or whatever. Really liked him. Thought he was good. But yeah, real...
They're number 4, wasn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
The Ugandan.
Yes,
lad.
I think
yeah.
so. He was very good. But really, it was an anonymous midfield. And the fact that we don't have someone seemingly that can actually
put his foot on the ball and...
Well, just, yeah, replace him in
which
that
is,
role.
Which is odd because Mara was on the bench.
Started on the bench, yeah.
Hansa Hellebrandt has been brought in and has been unused, basically, so far. Yeah. I mean, he's had, like, 20 minutes, I think. Maybe against Pribram he had 20 mm-hmm. minutes. But, yeah, we haven't seen him. Yep. And he was a deadline day, you know, midfield bolsterer, and we've seen nothing from him. So
we gave him a few minutes when the game was gone, but that's about it.
Yeah, like I said, the second goal, like, you know, Endel was unlucky to score that second goal, but it means I have come up with a lovely quiz. Do you want to play a lovely quiz?
What's the quiz called?
It's called Commuting from Kendal with Lukasz Endel.
David, all right, yeah. David, Kendal as in Kendal in...
Mint cake.
Yes, in Cumbria.
Yeah.
The Lake District.
Lukasz Endel's long-term plan is, as we know, to retire to a lovely house in Kendal on the southern edge of the Lake District. However, he also wants to see a bit of the UK as well. So he wants to know if he could drive to these places from his house in Kendal in under 2 hours.
Oh, bloody hell. I have one request.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to, before we even start, have a look at Kendal on the map of the UK so I have a general idea of where it is?
Yes, that seems fair. Let's do that. Okay, 3, 2, 1, go. Happy?
Yes, I've put the phone down.
Okay. Right. Lukasz would like to see some football. Could he get to Brunton Park, home of Carlisle United, in under 2 hours?
You would assume yes, because it's also in Cumbria.
That's a 100% success. Yes, he could. Yeah.
Good.
These are all looking up directions of driving on Google Maps,
okay,
by the way.
Yeah.
So.
I suppose he'd also get to Deepdale as well, because it's halfway between the two.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
He'd love to see the statue of Laurel and Hardy in Ulverston, the birthplace of Stan Laurel. Could he drive there in under 2 hours?
Ulverston. Is that in Yorkshire? Actually, you'd give it away if you told me.
I would, yeah.
Because I was going to say, is it not near Morecambe? But then obviously, no, I'm thinking of Morecambe and Wise.
it's a different double act.
I guess it could be in West Yorkshire. No, I'm going to say, right, I think it's maybe in a southern bit of Yorkshire. For some reason, I could be totally wrong here. I have this understanding that he's probably from somewhere in Yorkshire. So I'll say no.
You're wrong. He could very much get to Ulverston. Ulverston is also in Cumbria.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Well, I mean...
It's where my granddad was born. On the same street as Stan Laurel.
Oh, really?
Yes.
What time in this quiz do I get to pull the I'm Scottish and have no idea of your people's geography
card?
Oh, no, he's going to go to bloody Tweeddale or something, isn't he?
He's planning on eloping with a local girl. Could he drive to Gretna Green in under 2 hours?
Of course he's going to Gretna. Yes, he could, surely.
Yes, he could, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, quite happily under, yeah.
Because that's, I mean, just as a aside from that, like, especially in the days of failed experiment Gretna FC, and then some of the other teams like around that sort of, that part of the world, like Annan Athletic, and to an extent even Dumfries, there's been quite a lot of movement between, like, ex-Carlisle players to that sort of part of the country before.
All right. Number four, he loves the early 2000s indie band Kaiser Chiefs. Could he make a pilgrimage to Leeds in under 2 hours?
Well, if I'm to be consistent with my thought process for the second one where I thought that Stan Laurel was from some part of Yorkshire. Actually, this is the thing as well. Like, I don't know much about English geography, but I'm told that going between... you know, like the east and the west of the countries, especially by road and things like that, is an absolute pain in the arse. So I would say...
a fairly significant range of hills in the way.
I believe, yes. I believe there is a Pennines.
Yes.
Is it? So why is there a horse in the Pennine suite? surely no. This will be the no.
Yes. 2 hours and 3 minutes.
Oh, that's close.
In fact, yeah.
Oh, that's close. Was this in your car? Can I clarify?
No,
or was this a normal car?
No, this is Google Maps standard car.
Okay, yeah. Standard car.
They're only standard car.
Is this how I go? Like, because I can't drive. Is this if I ever want to start driving, do I go into one of these dealerships and say, can I have a standard
one
car?
Standard actually used to be a car company.
Really?
So you'd get something from the 50s. Made in Coventry, probably, actually, yeah.
I'm not you.
Right, number five. Mm-hmm. He'd also like to visit Belfast, taking his standard car with him. Could he drive to the ferry terminal at Stranraer in under 2 hours?
Stranraer?
Stranraer?
In Scotland? This is a tough one, because also notorious pain in the arse place to mm-hmm. get to is Stranraer. Because I would suppose you'd have to get... Well, you have to go all the way up through Cumbria. Then you get to the borders.
Yeah. And have to turn left.
Yes. Well, yeah, you're going to have to go through, like, Wigtonshire and stuff, which is surprise and stuff like that, which is surprisingly long. Roads aren't great. Go on, I'll say no.
Absolutely right.
Nice.
Something like 3 hours, 18 minutes really? Or something. Yeah, so...
I'm told it's a trek.
Yeah, it's a fair hack. As you say, along like pain in the arse, sort of nothing roads as well.
Apparently, a good place to watch football.
Really?
Stair Park.
Stair
Park. But I've never been to Stranraer. So.
Well, there you go.
I've also never been to Belfast, so there you go.
Would you like to do a potted history of Viktoria Zhizkov or manager chat?
I would say we're on a roll with the interesting things, so, and I would say that it's appropriate to then preview afterwards what the new manager will have to face. So I would say Zhizkov now, manager chat later.
Okie doke, let's do that then.
Zhizkov's answer to Cocksparrer there.
Yeah, did you enjoy that bit of, mid-90s Czech punk there?
I did, good. Actually, yeah.
Yeah, lovely. This is a potted history of Viktoria Zhizkov. They are one of the oldest clubs in the country, founded in...
1903.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were one of the founding members of the Czechoslovak League, and the 1927-28 season was their time of glory. It was their one and only title. Their first ground was known as Ohrada, and is about 2 kilometres east of where they now play. Mm-hmm. The big main street where we got probably Zhizkov's best wings.
Yes. Shout
out them, by the way.
Yes, what were they called again?
Can't remember.
But they were really good. There's this American place, and it looks like we just went in because we thought it just looked like a really shitty
absolute
place.
Absolute shit bar, yeah.
And it was amazing, and everyone in there was really good, and the food was fantastic.
Food was nice, yeah. Cheap, good burgers and good chips.
Yeah, great chips, yeah.
Yeah.
Highlight of the day.
We will probably mention it on social media when we look it up again. That was one thing I was going to do, but I forgot to find out what it was called. Anyway. Basically, if you walked up that road, like going east, for like 2 kilometres, they had their first ground there. It was known as Ohrada, and as with many of these grounds we've seen in this series, it was shared with a cycling club because cycling was big at the turn of the 20th century. The plan was eventually to build a 35,000 capacity stadium just past the Olshany Cemetery, like on the hill, east of Olshany. That never happened, obviously. And the club became homeless between periods at the cycling stadium. Basically, they spent whole seasons just bouncing around other Prague grounds and sort of sharing with them. After the communist coup in February 1948, Viktorka were actually top of the table. And at the end of February 1948, the season was declared null and void. and was played as a shortened season from March till July. So they had all their all their results wiped, and they had to start again for this short little season. That was when they were going to maybe win their second title, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is where it gets really bad, because after this, the regime did their thing of linking sports clubs to industrial enterprises, but there's no industry in Žižkov.
That's true.
It's purely residential and parkland and churches and cemeteries and stuff. So in 1952, they became Avia Čakovice and moved to Čakovice, which is in Prague 18. Oh, it's past Letňany. It's like way like northeast.
Miles away, it's
a village, basically. Yeah.
But is it a village with a very important steelworks, etc.?
Yeah. A Phoenix club was formed and... And
sorry, are we actually got? Is this gonna be three Phoenix Knights references in the podcast? Did they burn the club down in mysterious circumstances?
It's the Phoenix Club. Pull off into paradise.
Did they have any sporting rivalries at this time that were managed by some guy called Dennis Perry?
Well, no, but a Phoenix Club, as I say, was formed. And basically, because the name Victoria Žižkov is no longer in use, they took that name. And in 1967, that club made its way back into the top flight. And unlike other clubs, like Dukla, that have split at points...
Yeah.
Žižkov, as a part of Prague, has always done things their own way. You know, they're a slightly... You know, they weren't really part of Prague even until the early 20th century. So when the kind of Phoenix Club was formed, that was the, like, proper spiritual successor to the original Viktorka. So this Avia Čakovice, which was the club, was just roundly ignored.
Yeah.
And they were like, well, no, this is the... continuation of what we were doing before. They spent a few decades after that bouncing around between the top two leagues. But in 1994, they win the Czech Cup, beating Sparta Prague on penalties, which is very nice, and win it again in 2001, again beating Sparta, this time 2-1. The following season, the title went down to the final day with Viktorka missing out and Sparta getting revenge by winning the title. Viktorka eventually finished third after collapsing on the final day. The following year, they finished third again, but were relegated in 2004 with manager Ivan Hornik dragged in front of the league on bribery charges, subsequently proven to be absolutely true. And after they got relegated, they started their first year of that period in the second division with a 12-point deduction, and that paved the way for more seasons of yo-yoing and kind of... reducing themselves into the entity they are now. Like, since 2015, they've been battling not only other teams, but their own financial situation, with rent payments on the ground being very generously deferred by the government of Prague 3 a few times, because they sort of, they're living hand to mouth, and they very much have been for almost 10 years now. Their brief sort of flurry into success meant their 1994-95 Cup Winners' Cup run was ended by Chelsea, which is a pretty decent showing. But in the 2002-2003 UEFA Cup, they did knock out...
They knocked out Glasgow Rangers.
They certainly did in the first round, and then they were beaten by Real Betis in round two. But yeah,
there's no shame in that, really.
No, and a second Rangers reference in this. Yeah. Actually, probably wearing the McEwen's Lager jersey. A little bit late.
Carling would have maybe been a sponsor in that time.
Yeah. But yeah, that's Žižkov. Lovely club.
I have a couple of corrections I'm glad to make.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was brought to task by Dan. Because I mentioned, I speculated in the last podcast where we did the preview, that, you know, just with the financial situation and so on at Viktoria Žižkov, that they were probably on a hybrid system when they were down in the ČFL last season. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that that was absolutely not the case. They threw all their eggs into one basket, so to speak, staying a full-time team. And apparently, if that didn't work and they didn't get promoted immediately, they were pretty much fucked.
Right.
So that's a big gamble.
Mm.
So fair enough. And yes, Dan, you are right. when I do know someone who's a Viktoria Žižkov fan, should probably ask them a bit about some of the teams. So yeah, fair play. But yes, happy to make that correction.
Yes. Right, that was Žižkov. We are, we're 40 minutes into the show, so let's go straight into manager chat. Manager chat.
Breaking news.
Indeed. Yeah. Klosáček is ven.
He's gone.
Yeah.
Worth noting before you go into it that that was the chant that was happening at 3-0 down.
It certainly was.
And all the banners were taken down at half time, and then everyone left the away section before the full time whistle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that felt like it was possibly the beginning of the end, but I didn't think it would be this quickly.
Indeed, yeah. As I said previously, I did a bit of a dive into his post-match interviews, and two things come across, and it might explain the seeming lack of commitment from apparently senior players such as Folsek that you mentioned earlier. Post-Žižkov... Quote, "It's a shame we didn't wake up earlier. Žižkov outplayed us. We couldn't match their pace. Mm-hmm. Post-Opava, we were really passive and lacked commitment. Post-Přivram, we let Přivram into the game. We were naive, didn't have commitment and didn't take our chances. Post-Žižkov, we warned the players that after the international break and playing in the morning would be difficult. We weren't solid in defence and they didn't display a winning mentality." It is also in every one of these interviews he makes mention of... "I tried to improve the situation with substitutions and tactical switches, but it all comes across basically as I don't know my best team and I'm throwing things at it to see what sticks."
Yeah.
And then when none of it works, blaming the player's mentality.
Mm-hmm.
Why would you want to work for a boss that does that?
Yeah.
You know? There's been no consistency in team selection. There's been an odd reluctance to use some players and use some others more. And then when things don't work out at the start of games, we don't play, we go down early. Oh, yeah. You know, three substitutions and a tactical shift, but that hasn't worked. So basically, I fucked it up, I've tried to fix it, haven't fixed it. It's the player's mentality after every game. And, of course you've got no motivation to play for this guy.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Absolutely. Came in on a wave of expectation, of course.
On a wave of expectation. Wave good. Of expectation. Sorry.
But this is, you know, 11 points off the top. This is sixth place. I actually thought about this coming over here today, is that if we just talk about 2023... This is surely one of the worst years in terms of results in the club's history.
Oh, it's
in terms of losses.
Yeah.
Because this now, represents a five-game losing streak. Lost every one of these matches.
Is it seven wins in 2023? We're 10 months in, and I think it's seven competitive wins.
I will happily just tell... Shall I just read out a couple of wins? Because I've got the stats up.
Mm-hmm.
So we won on the 16th of April, 2-1 against Pardubice. That was the game where they might have had a penalty that might have even fucked that one. I'm then looking... Those are some friendlies. We then beat Sigma Olomouc B, 2-1. And that was, of course, after going behind as well. We have beaten Chrudim 4-1 in what is possibly the only good display this club's had. Sparta Prague B 2-1.
Mm-hmm.
That was two goals after the 80th minute. Had no right winning that. Prostějov 1-0. Varnsdorf 1-0. Jihlava 1-0. And there's
games.
A couple of cup games in that as well.
Yeah, so seven league and two cup.
7 League and 2 Cup, and that's because we beat the mighty Vsetin and Zdirets.
Yeah.
You know? That is out of...
crap,
and I mean, look at what I'm scrolling through here, you know?
It's pretty shit, isn't it?
Like, I mean, this is actually worse than the run which ended Zbrojovka's tenure in the division last season, because at least we got draws against Teplice and Budjovice in that time. We have lost 5 straight.
Yeah. And the 5 straight losses feel very much like 5 straight losses. If you remember earlier in the season when I mentioned that we'd won 5 straight and it didn't feel like it.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I have the same feeling. I feel the team is playing the same way. Like, you know, we're losing, and that's, you know, we're losing because we're crap. But we were also winning, and we were also crap. It, you know, it didn't make me excited to see a winning team because I didn't even realise we were winning because the football was so bad.
Yeah, this is the thing. This is, I mean, that's what has sort of probably brought this on as well. It's eye bleeding right now, and
it's awful,
if you look at the, and again, you know, we have to keep coming back to this, unfortunately, which is even with the, you know, the troubles off the field in terms of things like ownership and structure and so on, this team has the biggest budget in this division. This team arguably has the best squad and resources in this division as well, and if you are putting together sort of results like this, It's not really sustainable.
Yeah. Who would we like to take over? It's going to be Vrba, obviously.
It is. Every single other person would like someone like David Horeš.
I would love David Horeš to come in. But, I mean, Sotka worked with Vrba at Victoria Plzeň.
Yeah.
His Banik side was freewheeling and mental. His lean side is poor.
I was going to actually just mention that right now. A message from Kenny. Hi, Kenny. On our group chat, which is just him saying, I love watching Vrba teams. When he was at Banik, it was fantastic for the neutral. Every game could have finished 8-8. Lots of chances at both ends.
Yeah.
Now, I read that message and that fucking terrifies me. Like,
yeah. Have you seen our defence and our forward line? It's, oh dear.
We've got a front line that doesn't need to score and a defensive line that doesn't need to defend. And that's the thing. I know that we're probably a bit pressed for time, but can I just mention one more thing?
You can.
Because I did see a tweet as well about this today, which sort of meant, you know, which was all this sort of, they never should have got rid of Richard Dostalek. I would just like to tell everyone who's a proponent of that view to shut the fuck up, basically. Because, I mean, what happens there, I think, is just, that we saw this actually in a bunch of teams as well, you know, like... Derek McInnes' Aberdeen, for example, was, you know, when stuff was going wrong with Glass and, you know, so on. Oh, doesn't he look so rosy now? But you're forgetting a number of different things. Just because the current managerial situation is shit doesn't mean that the stuff under Richard Dostalek was good. And crucially to this as well is that Dostalek was more than just a very one-dimensional manager with no tactics. He's also sort of more of a representation of like the old guard, of Bartoniek, of the things that a lot of the supporters of this football team have as, you know, a big barrier into, you know, sort of like coming to games anymore.
Jobs for the boys, like basically.
Exactly.
Wasn't it? Yeah.
So getting rid of him was absolutely the right thing to do. Replacing him was the correct thing to do. And okay, it didn't work out with Hašek. And it's obviously not worked out with Klusacek, but like still appointments and dismissals that had to be made, in my view.
Yeah. Sotka has said that Tomáš Polák and Jozef Mucha have it until the winter break in 3 games' time,
mm-hmm.
and then they'll reassess over the long and tedious mm-hmm. winter break until the first weekend of March when we play Dukla.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
It's going to be a lot of time that I don't have to worry about the club, but... I mean, again, looking on the fans' view of this as well, that's also not an ideal situation. Like, most fans would like this to be as short a time as possible with that interim duo, because I'm told...
We've got points to make up.
Sure, but also that I'm told that, you know, again, no managerial experience of such, as you've spoken about before. But also, we're not impressive in the youth setup as well. We're not very good youth coaches.
Li Shen?
Yes.
Oh dear. Li Shen, so what the flower people say. Li Shen.
For a minute, I thought you were going to go, Li Shen, Li Shen, da-da-na-na-na-na. Like Stingray.
Yeah, that wouldn't have worked as well as Listen to the Flower People by Spinal Tap.
I'll let the viewers decide. Anyway, back to Friday football for Zbrojovka as yeah. we kick off again at 5 o'clock, because I think it's on the TV. Which is obviously going to cause the crowd to suffer. You know, it's not all about five losses in a row. But the absolutely wasn't a derby, but now probably is a derby. Derby returns with
Li Shen. Battle for the Shtetl.
Battle for the Shtetl, of which Li Shen were, I believe, victors of our last encounter.
Yeah, and we are now on equal points and equal goal difference.
We are 16 and 16.
But two teams going in very different directions.
Yes. I mean, Li Shen have been knocking on the door of the playoffs for some time. So, you know, finished fifth and fourth in the last two seasons. The season before that, they finished second, only lost two games all season. And that was the season when the promotion spot... There's only one promotion spot with the reorganization of the league. That went to Hradec Králové, of course. So that's really, you know, you got to feel a bit hard done by there. But, you know, a small team with a stable setup, good youth structure, community focus. So putting all the pieces together to be a successful football club. And, you know, maybe the size of them is one of the reasons why there's sometimes issues with maintaining momentum, because they've been in positions where they've sold players to bigger clubs, and that's led to dip in form. So, you know, and they're probably the opposite of Zbrojovka, except for this season, that they normally go out of form towards the end of a campaign, whereas we, you know, tend to sort of find something from somewhere. We've already gone to see Li Shen this season. We went to see a very entertaining 2-2 draw with Vlašim, I believe.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on how that game
they
was?
They were very combative, weren't they?
Yes.
They didn't, which is how they've been for the last few years, and they always, like, they come to games against us, particularly at Srpska last time, mm-hmm. where they hurtled into us.
Yeah.
And for a squad that is consistently being told they lack commitment and lack passion...
Yeah, this can...
oh, dear.
This is not looking so good. I mean, the one thing that I think of at Li Shen these days is that they're quite an entertaining club.
Mm.
Saying that, I think that they've looked pretty much bang average this season, as of really. I mean, obviously that 2-0 game was quite an entertaining one. It was the start of a little bit of momentum. They started off really badly this season, but they've also, you know, they lost to Prostějov as well last time out. You know, so they've looked, you know, good in parts, suspect in others, basically. So, you know, if you go as a neutral to Li Shen, you're probably going to have a good time anyway. If you're a South Moravian football enthusiast, you take a look at Li Shen's squad and you recognise a number of players
in
their ranks,
don't
you? So, I mean, if you look at former Zbrojovka players, you've got Čermák, Lutonský, Pašek, Veselý, you know, in some cases from a long time ago, like... I was astounded that all of those players are in their 30s.
I'm not that astounded.
For people like Adrian Čermák, I am. Milan Lutonský, I was a lot younger than I thought he would be. But,
So, he's always 27 in my head.
Yes.
Lutonsky's always 27.
Talking about weird haircuts, man, it's an easy one for that as well. But yeah, so I mean, you know, it's Li Shen, right? So you're going to get, you know, you have all, you know, your former Zbrojovce, you have, former Slovatsko players.
Yeah, sort of jobbers from Prostějov.
Those who came through the youth setup at Blansko, and they now. So, you know, and success at this level actually has allowed them to reach further afield, which might be, you know, needed later. If they are to, you know, sort of push on a bit further. And that's why I'd like to mention Antonio Minonic.
Right.
Who is Croatian. And he's quite a traditional centre, defensive midfielder sort of player. He was signed by AC Milan.
Really?
But he never broke into the first team. but he has a lot of experience. I think something like 60, 70 appearances for their development team. He had a loan out a bunch of Serie C teams as well. And he's come on, he's played, you know, some limited minutes so far. I mean, I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on him, so I don't know if he's been, you know, rubbish or not. And that's why he's only, I think he's got like 200 minutes or something like that. But, you know, not a signing that you would associate with Lee Sharp.
No, absolutely not. Really. No.
You know, everyone else that they've sort of, you know, sort of gone with in terms of like this season, has just been like people that they've just put gone immediately out on loan, or they've, you know, bit part players from B teams. And the only one that I thought of any interest for people that have a little bit of sort of knowledge of football at this level was Jiří Mezera, who's quite an experienced centre back. Even though he's only 23, he's played around a bit here. I think he's come from Tabor, if I remember correctly. Okay. I forgot to write it down, so sorry if I'm wrong, listener. But the whole nucleus of the Lee Sharp team has actually been one that's been seen to be good in various years. And yes, you know, obviously you've had players that have gone on to do bigger or better things, or not in the case of some players, unfortunately. But like, you know, a couple of players to, you know, just to maybe highlight as well, like Marek Matoka is one that I think, you know, since he's come in from Vyshkov in 2020, he's been incredible value in the middle of the park. Like, so he won't score too much, but he will spray balls around. He'll get into good positions. Mm-hmm. 10 assists in the league last season. He's off to a good start again this time round. This is also Pavel Vandas's second season since coming in from Visegrad, of all teams, as well. He's a striker. He's matched his total from last season already with 5. So there's a lot of experience in this side, and they will be competent and, like you say, combative.
Yeah.
That's not the sort of team that you want to be playing.
It really isn't.
Right now, is it?
No, it really isn't. Particularly in the cauldron atmosphere of the ADAX Invest Arena.
I mean, this could be what... Well, the thing is, the only thing that's going to kind of save this atmosphere is Lee Sharp, right?
So yeah, exactly.
We're going to get 5,000 people, you know, I would say. But 5 o'clock kickoff times really, really annoy me. And I know it has to be for Česká televize so they can show their football game. But, you know, ultimately, this should be a match for the fans. And why... There's no good reason, at least in my mind, why this couldn't have been a 3 o'clock kickoff on a Saturday.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, there's going to be that sort of derby thing. The relations between Lee Sharp and Brno are fine. There's not going to be ultras from each side beating each other up or anything like that. And actually, you know, we talk about historically as well, with Lee Sharp being a lower league side, a lot of, you know, Lee Sharp fans would, you know, their big team would have been Zbrojovka season ticket holders gone to see Lee Sharp, you know, and things like that. So there's really no reason, maybe aside from policing costs or whatever, that it's not there. So I'd be disappointing with that. I look forward to the game because it's a game against Lee Sharp, but in footballing sense, I'm dreading it.
Yeah. Anyway, let's have a quick beer of the podcast, shall we?
Yes. Beer of the podcast. Yes, so it's beer of the podcast. David's turn this time.
Yep.
After a welcome couple of contributions from Fraser, it's back to your regular broadcasting.
Yes. I went to the recently reopened Kavarna Pole, which is now being run by the Rebel Bean Coffee conglomerate, empire, whatever you want to call them.
Caffeine concern.
Yes, exactly, yeah. It's very nice. It's perfectly fine. And on tap, they have Moravia 11 and Zichovitz 12. But they also have a big fridge with various sort of craft beers in it.
Yeah.
So today, with the memory from some series ago of Zichovitz... Is it their passion fruit sour that was delicious?
Yes, I think it was.
It was a The one with kind of, it's got like Lego bricks on the label. It's really, really, it was really good. We really enjoyed it. This is Zukovets' new mango cheesecake sour.
Aha. I looked at this and I thought mango.
Mm.
And I thought you were bringing me some mango milkshake thing just from the head that's on mine.
No, mango cheesecake sour. It's 5.5%. And, okay.
So it's a sour that's not messing about then. So.
Absolutely not, no. But yeah, it looks, again, looks like...
Looks thick.
Looks just thick and juicy. Just like me.
Thick with two C's.
Damn right.
Smells of mango.
Smells of mango.
You wouldn't expect anything less, I suppose. Cheers. Cheers. Oh, it's like a smoothie.
That's delicious.
Sometimes, David, you just got to hand it to them, haven't you?
You really do.
That like, is.
On the end... There is that little bit of ice cream almost on the end. Oh man,
people are going to start accusations about me, David. But like, I'm drinking this and I'm thinking breakfast drink.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, I could polish off like 10 of those. That's dangerous, man.
It's fresh. It's fruity. There's that slight sort of like mango ice cream to it on the end. Oh man, damn you, Zukovets! Why are you so expensive?
That is, I mean, fair play, David. That's a colossal beer to bring to the sack show. So yeah, very well done. That's fantastic. That's
lovely.
So one of these 750 bottles, I suppose.
Yes, you can also get it in cans, so I got a can for this. But yeah, you can get it in the 750 bottles as well. And yeah, dear me. Oof. Anyway, we are going to cut the section a little bit short because we've got one preview to do, and that is Krom Yerish. I'm not entirely sure why I said that in like the Zanzibar. Are you disco dancing down on the rave scene as a Zanzibar?
Shout out Newport.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not going to Newport. We're going on our last away trip of the year to newly promoted Krom Yerish.
You are going on your last away trip. I am not going on that because I will be in Deventer watching Go Ahead Eagles versus Vitesse Arnhem.
And are you going to have a better experience than us at... Krom Yerish?
Yes.
Yes, certainly will. Okay, well, I mean, let's take you back, David. A little bit of a history lesson, I suppose. In terms of competitive matches, we've played them twice in recent memory.
Yep.
Both of them in the Cup. Last encounter, August 2021. The now dearly departed Jan Hladík and Michal Ševčík helping Zbrojovka to take the lead twice before getting held back by the home side, and then we eventually won that game on penalties. But before that, you need to go back to September 2015. And I know this because it came up recently on my Facebook memories.
Yes, we went there, didn't we?
We went there, and boy, do we both look thinner, happier.
Younger. More carefree, yes.
Yes. And that was a Michal Škoda header in the second half. Scraped us through what was a really nervy and not very good game of football, actually. But was... you know, a very good experience, a new stadium, I think, for both of us.
Yeah.
Fantastic hospitality as well from the locals, and quite a good bar in the ground, if I recall, which away fans were welcome to go into.
It's just a nice town as well.
It is, yeah. It's a nice town, storied town, in a lot of ways.
UNESCO heritage sites. They have a sort of a chateau with rose gardens and things. It's very, very, very attractive.
So very pleasant. Probably not so pleasant in the start of November. But this,
I don't know. The old global warming has been doing us a solid over this autumn so far.
Yeah, I mean, shout out the weather on Sunday, which was positively balmy. So this is Hrvatska Slavia's first season in the second tier for 17 years.
Yes, and they're having a jolly. Tricky time of it.
Yeah, well, so, you know, I'll get on to that just shortly. You know, they last played in season 05-06, so, well, at least way before my time. And they squeaked it last season to 2 points from Hlučín, who also had a really good season. difficult league to get out of MSFL because obviously you get one team that goes up, and then because obviously one comes from CHFL, one comes from MSFL. Having a bit of a difficult time of it, sure. I mean, the goal for Kromě is to establish themselves in the division. That's, you know, perhaps easier, you know, than some other teams, I would say, for Kromě, because, you know, if you think about it like this, right? Reasonably serviceable stadium, doesn't need any major improvements for this this league. Good local support for that level,
yeah,
as well. It's, you know, a sort of a one club town, you know, in a lot of ways, and it's got a prime location. You know, when we talk about sort of football teams having prime locations, we usually mean anything in central Bohemia or around, because obviously you have, you know, a lot of footballers want to live in Prague. You've got then all these other, you know, sort of teams around it. You know, even if you're not talking about Prague teams, you've got like Liberec, it's an hour away, and so on. And actually, if you think about it, especially on a second division level, you are right in between Brno, Zlín, Olomouc, Uherské Hradiště.
So yeah, you've got lots of sort of top league teams, or in our case, second league, but should be top league teams, looking to loan out young players who still want to live, you know, probably with their folks, maybe still, and drive 45 minutes away and go play for Kromě Rýš.
Yeah, and I mean, we have made use of...
we certainly have, before.
I mean, the one that springs to mind right now is, I think it's Claude Lotecký was there as well, for example.
Yeah, and we sent the Mexican God out on loan there last year, didn't we? Otakar Hotep was out there.
The striking partnership with Imhotep,
I
recall. So yeah, there is that talent pool to be exploited. Actually, it's also not so far away from Ostrava, if you think about it, which is why they brought in 5 Ostrava B players on loan. but maybe more on that in a moment. But, you know, like you're saying, maybe a tough time. But like, if you are the sort of the club, or if you are the club supporters, you know, 12th place right now is something that you'll be pretty likely decent, to be content with. 5 points off the bottom. I would argue that there's worse teams in this division. Will remain. I still think that for this league, you have to wait and see on that. But I mean, I'm just thinking off the top of my head, Prostějov aren't looking good. Sigma B aren't looking good. Varnsdorf finally got a win. And that was going to be that's going to be a concern, because who was Varnsdorf's first win against? Hanatska Slavia Kroměříž. Yes, at the weekend. You know, so if you are newly promoted, though, you're coming into the winter break with any sort of cushion, I think you'll feel okay with it. I mean, also worth mentioning that they got to the third round of the cup and only lost 2-0 to Slavia Prague as well.
Their partners in big red stars and half and half shirts.
Yeah, I mean, a respectable result. They have also lost to Sigma B, though. So, you know, they do look capable of winning at least some points. I didn't go really too much into the squad because, I mean, totally new squad, but like, and a bunch of sort of B players, and I had to look for anyone interesting. They haven't really bought anyone really in. They've been looking to B teams, MSFL, strengthen. Comes with the territory, comes with the budget, you know? But actually, if you look at their team and, you know, what they've done with that, it's really quite interesting. Like, I had a look at two of the sort of the leading goal scorers, which is Jakub Dočkala and Michal Tsupak. And they've been in the youth side for years and made the step up. So like Tsupak has been in the first team since 2016 and has just slowly worked his way there. They've always been a sort of a reasonably okay third division side. And like you say, you know, if you are a local player, you know, and I imagine, you know, you're working a job as well and you're doing that, you know, that's, you know, the sort of stability, you know, and really, you know, there's been some, you know, exceptions to the rule, as we've talked about before. I think last time out, it's, you know, the gap of quality between the third tier, the top of the third tier and the bottom of the second tier isn't that much. There's only been a couple of teams that have gone straight back down if they've been promoted. You have been the calamitous Blansko team, for example. But this doesn't maybe feel exactly like it. Like, I think that they'll probably be able to maintain their position.
Yeah, they've got enough to kind of sort of establish a foothold. Like, you know, just avoid it this year, and then, like, it's a similar thing to Líšeň.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like small, as you say, community club, making use of local, you know, loan sort of arrangements.
Yes.
And just build slowly year on year like that.
Absolutely. maybe just a warning, and this has been covered before, but if we have any hope of like getting to the playoffs, this is a team we have to beat. I mean, you know, Vyshkov have done it, Dukla have done it, Tabor have done it. Okay, the caveat to that is that they all beat them at their home ground, but still, like, we should be, you know, this whole thing with the manager sacking has thrown a lot of uncertainty into things, but really, this is, like, this is the blueprint sort of team that you need to beat, and you need to beat convincingly, I think, to actually make any sort of run in the division.
Yeah, agreed. Anyway, there we go. That's that's the state of the nation on Zbrojovka.
It's been a bit of a longer one, but there's been a lot to get through. There's
been
time.
A lot to get through. I've had fun. I enjoyed that.
Is that a cathartic experience for you? Get stuff off your chest.
No, just get the pints into my.
Well, that's it.
Into my chest. I was going to say that's odd. That's not right. But
anyway. We're definitely going to finish off these delicious mango cheesecake beers. Thank you, as always, for listening. Please be sure to follow us on social media as Zbrojovcast on Facebook and Twitter.
Indeed. Yes, so we will speak to you at least once more in this half of the season. But until then, we'll love you and leave you. Cheers, everyone.
Bye. Každý den otvírá trhací kalendář, prýstí den ubývá, za pár dní bude snad přede mnou ve dveřích Victoria sama stát. Victoria, Victoria. Odvážný, štěstí mám, zazvoní u dveří, poslední poschodí. Je tam pár štítků jmen, jedno z nich mé vodí. Victoria, Victoria.
Každý den dotýká, uslyším zámku klíč, láska má odmyká. Victoria!